if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Matthew chapter 16. And I normally start off with prayer, but I'm just going to get right into it because I want to continue the word that God has already given to us starting this morning. I'm glad I was here to hear what God was saying through Sheila, and I knew that was the word. So I thank God for that. I thank God for being one and not having everybody one over here saying something and one over here saying something and both of them claiming it's God when it's not. I thank God for his word for this body. Thank you. I'm going to jump right in. Chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? There's a song, and I know it's no one in here remembers back that far, but it's Diana Ross, and I know that's not familiar to anyone here, but the song is called Do You Know Where You're Going To? Anybody know that? I guess I got lucky. Anyway, the song says, Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know? Do you know what you're hoping for? When you look behind you, there's no open doors. What are you hoping for? Do you know? Once we were standing still in time, chasing the fantasies that filled our minds. You knew how I loved you, but my spirit was free, laughing at the questions that you once asked of me. And the song goes on, Now looking back at all we've planned, we've let so many dreams just slip through our hands. Why must we wait so long before we see how sad the answers to those questions can be? Do you know where you're going to? Do you know? God has been speaking to me about, just continuing on with what was said this morning, to put it lightly, you know, the world is going to heck in a handbasket. And I'm not going to say he didn't condemn the Pharisees or the Sadducees, but his gripe against them was that they were a people whose heart wasn't ready and who could not discern the signs of the times. Isn't it funny how he says that in this scripture, he says, you guys can tell what the weather is going to be just by looking at the sky. And so often, even today, we plan our lives based upon a schedule. We plan our days based upon assumptions. Has anybody ever looked at the sky and been like, you know, it's definitely going to rain? Yeah. And it didn't rain?
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten up and it was bright and sunny and you put on, you know, shorts and a tank and by 12 o'clock it was raining cats and dogs? Now, as a general rule, you know, we're pretty accurate. The weather report is generally accurate. But Jesus said that the Pharisees would run their lives based upon something that wasn't a sure thing. They ran their lives based upon assumptions. You can discern the face of the sky and plan your days according to that. You can look up in the evening and decide whether we're sailing out in the morning or we're not going to sail out in the morning. You can look up at the sky and tell whether we're going to fish today, whether we're going to get a big catch, whether the tide is going to roll in, what kinds of fish it's bringing in, or whether we're just going to wait until tomorrow. And even though we're not really sure, and none of us controls the skies or the weather, we still plan our days based upon these things. We humans love a schedule, and we're very caught up in a routine. We like patterns. We like to make connections. Why do we like dramas? Why do we like mysteries? Because our minds are wired so that we like to see a connection. Why do we watch reality TV? Why do we care who Jennifer Aniston is sleeping with? Because we want to know who, we want to connect the dots. What happened to Erica's husband? Who was he with? We want to connect the dots. We want the full story. Because we like patterns. Patterns make us comfortable. Patterns make us feel good about ourselves. If I get my daily routine done and I run my certain pattern and I get it all done by a certain time, I've done good for myself and I can pat myself on the back. And that makes me comfortable. When I'm up, the kids are dressed, they're gone. I'm at work an hour early. I get off early today. That's a good thing. I come home, help out, clean up, do whatever, work out, go to bed, and that makes me good. It makes me comfortable. But Jesus says, you Pharisees are running your lives based upon things that you're not even positive about. When the sure thing is staring you right in the face. We, and Ms. Sheila said it, we've got to have an open heart. There's no way that we can navigate through this world and get it right on our own. We have to seek God on everything. And as the song say, go back to the song, we had the luxury of not worrying about this stuff. You know, when I was 15, 16, 30, you know, I had the luxury, so I felt, of not worrying about these things. I was just trying to get through school, and then I was just trying to find a job, and then I was just trying to do this and that. But praise be to God, we're all still in the land of the living. But I realized that even at a young age, I didn't have time to fool around. If I knew then what I know now, kind of a thing. Keep going. Jesus says, and he's still talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, you know, and look at this reply. God deals with all of us where we are. And one thing I know about God is he's not a waster of time. Listen to what he says. After he says it, you know, you guys know what the weather is going to be because of what the sky looks like. He says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it. Now look at this close. No sign shall be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And immediately the words in my Bible are black. Jesus is no longer speaking. That totally went over their head. If you look after verse 4 or at the end of verse 4, there's no meeting, there's no discussion, there's no talk, there's no clarification. He just said, look, I'm not telling you anything. I'm not giving you any hints. I'm not giving you any clues except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And I could just see him like, huh? Crickets. But then it says Jesus left them and departed. Now, as we go on a little further, the disciples get things a little twisted. Jesus says something just as nebulous, something just as off, out in left field, off the beaten path to the disciples. But look at what happens when you have a heart. Now, Jesus understands that we don't get it. He knows that we are nothing on our own, and he knows that his ways are so far from our ways, and that he doesn't expect us to have it figured out. But the good thing is when you got a heart to figure it out, when you actually seek God for some answers, he doesn't mind sharing, even though you're way off base, way off base. Like, look at this. He says, and when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What? At least they tried. Look at verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Now that's way off. But if you see, there's more verses in red. And Jesus actually took four verses to explain to them and to clarify what was going on, because they had a heart to know and they had a heart to understand. They had a heart to follow God. God is interested in people that have a heart to follow him and that really want to get it right. It's not about how many times you mess up. God is saying, do you want to get it right? Amen. Yeah, we, like Sheila said this morning, God said through Sheila, yeah, you know, it's a lot of things we do and we're not proud of it. It's a lot of things we do that are very detrimental to our health. It's a lot of things we do that are dangerous and we have no clue how dangerous it is. It seems heartless. It seems harmless, I'm sorry, because we still live in days where we can get it right. We've got time. It doesn't really matter. I'm retired. Look, I just graduated. Look, I just got a new job. Look, I'm just trying to chill. Look, I got a family now. And we think we got time. But we don't. We don't. We don't. He says, and Jesus' clarification of what's going on, look at 10. 10 is interesting. Verse 10, he says, start at 9. Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up? Go on to 10. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Anybody ever take time to look at the math there? We always, you know, we know he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000. But something that's interesting to me is with the 5,000, 5 loaves fed 5,000, 12 baskets left. 7 loaves fed 4,000 with 7 baskets left. Anybody ever realize that it took less loaves to feed more people and there was more left over? It's tons of things you can get out of this chapter. I struggled to find a title because it's so many different things. It's like it's very buffet-like. It's a little bit of everything. But in God, your assumptions aren't always true. They're usually not. And I'm here to tell you that less is more. Less is more. When you think you might need to be here and you think you might need to be there, the funny thing is when I get super busy and I'm trying to really, you know, hit everything on my little to-do list, oftentimes God will be like, I'll say, God, where do I need to start? Okay, I know I need to get up at like 4:30. And then where do I need to go? Do I need to go here? Do I need to catch this place before it closes? Do I need to knock this out before work or after work? The first place he generally says to start is on your knees. Because less is more.
Amen.
All of this, I've done that, and it usually doesn't get it. Some stone is left unturned. Some errand is not ran, some I is not dotted, and some T is not crossed. And that's because I didn't start out with the simple stuff, with the basics, asking, getting up early, you know, seeking God, praying, the basics. I overcomplicate stuff sometimes. But less is more. 11. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of this world is basically set up for our failure. Every time I read in scripture, I never read anything about things getting better now. The news that I see is very contrary to that belief that things are getting better, because they're not. The word says they're not getting better. The word says they're getting worse. And again, with the just continuing on with this morning, remember what Sheila was saying this morning. It's important, because she was basically talking about the self-examination. The question, do you know where you're going to? Do you like what's going on in your life? What are you hoping for? Did you get it? Should you even be hoping for that at all? Is your hope in the wrong thing? You know, are we praying amiss? Are we off base? When we were out at the church land, or that we want, Uncle said, man, you know, they used to build homes on rocks. And they were just like, they would find a good flat stone, and they would maybe, they would use that as the foundation. So they may take, you know, 4 to 6 just flat rocks and just straight up build on that. And, you know, if you've seen the land, you know those homes are still there. They don't look all that great, but they're still there hanging on, leaning but hanging on. Jesus said, you gotta be careful what you're basing your life around. Are you basing it on things that aren't sure? Are you basing it on things that aren't solid? The things that you're doing, what is it based on? Whether it be the job you took, or whether it's how you're raising your children, whether it's how you're treating your spouse, what is it based on? When you come here, what is it based on? The desires that you have, where do they come from? Your actions. Everything has an origin. No matter whether you love God or hate God, you're going to build your life on something. You're going to run your life based upon somebody's principles. You're going to run your life based upon somebody's beliefs. You're going to run your life based upon some experiences that you've had growing up. And that's going to govern you. That's going to be the rudder that steers your ship. But where did that come from? God's telling me, and even in my own life, there's some things that I'm doing, and God is like, where did that come from? Like, what was that? Eric, what you did, where did that come? What was that about? I'm not really sure. Where did that come from? Of course, I have no answer. Amen. You know? I know it came from the wrong place. Amen. You know, I know it didn't come from God. I get an A for that. You know? Among all of the lessons in this chapter, the biggest one, and I knew, you know, and I wrestled with this. I started maybe a couple months ago, and I've been wrestling with it in titles and trying to neatly package it all, but I can't. But when you said, when the word of God came through you this morning, I knew what time it was. I knew exactly what was going on. God was wondering if I knew, if I could discern the signs of the times. Can you look at the news? Can you, based upon your interactions with the people that you see on a daily basis, do you know what's going on? It ain't good. Have we been influenced by what's going on around us? It ain't good. All the things that we've done that we know God wasn't pleased with, or even if we thought that we were okay, when we think about all the things that are lacking in our lives, is it God, or did we miss it? You know, did we miss it? Are we not only that, Are we seeking to be right? And sometimes things get a little uncomfortable in this world. Sometimes you get to a point where people are asking you what's wrong, and you don't know what's wrong. But you just know, they know that you're not yourself. You're not. Let me tell you something God told me. He said, this whole being able to discern the signs of the times, you know what that is in simple terms? It's knowing how to dress for the occasion and being on time. You ever been late and underdressed? That's like the worst. You ever been unfashionably late? I've never been that. I don't know what you know. But no, that, you know, if you can't discern the signs of the times, you're going to be a day late, you're going to be a dollar short, you're going to be late, and you're going to look a mess on top of that. God told me, Eric, I just don't want you to be unfashionably late. I just want you to dress for the occasion. I looked up that word signs of the times. Do you know that that also can mean occasion? He said, do you know what the occasion is? I invited you to a wedding. What you got on black for? You know, we going on a nature hike. Why you got stilettos on? Do you know what occasion it is? Because if you don't, you can end up in an uncomfortable situation. And the word says, I'm not going to have anybody unaware. Sometimes I'll go days, and then I'm like, I'm going through my daily routine, and I think I'm firing on all 12 cylinders, and God is over here, and I'm every day, Monday, Tuesday, I'm getting farther and farther off base. So it's like Thursday, I'm like, man, where am I? Something just isn't right. Something ain't right. It is not God's intention for us to trail off and get left behind, or to be a day late, or to be unfashionably late, or to not be prepared for the occasion. With all this crazy stuff that's going on, we got to be ready. And it is not, God said, I wouldn't have you unaware. Amen. It's not his desire for us to not know what's going on. You may see that as bad, but do you know, like, I get it. All you have to do is turn on the news and you can see what's going on with the world. But what's going on within your four walls? What's up in your household? What's going on in my household? I need to be aware. I need to know what's going on. Because every system is set up for you to fail. Whether it's, do you think it's just a coincidence that everything that's popular on TV is filled with a bunch of drama? Come on. Do you see the signs? Can you interpret what's going on? Do you think it's a coincidence that a lot of gay people are getting publicity, whether it's in sports? Do you realize that they're calling guys heroes for admitting that they're gay? Do you see the signs of the times? Do you see what's going on? Do you see what your kids are watching? Do you see when you send them out into the world, are you aware of what they're up against? What their classmates are saying? Why is the most popular song the worst song?
Go ahead, Eric.
Why are they saying bad publicity is good publicity? There's no such thing as bad press. Why do you think people are doing evil things to stay relevant? Why, if, you know, nobody knows my name, but if I go out here and do something just stomp down ignorant, I guarantee you I'll make the news. I'm surprised I didn't make the news in my younger days when I was doing a bunch of dumb stuff. Probably was close. Maybe I just didn't get ignorant enough. It's not a coincidence. It's the times. You got to know what's going on. You got to know what's going on with your children. And I know sometimes it gets so bad you don't even want to talk about it. You don't know what to say. But we got to keep talking to one another. That's we got to keep talking to our families. Got to keep talking to our spouses. Yeah. We got to know what's going on. I might know something, and or even my kids might know something that's going on. A lot of times I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I didn't know. My wife said, oh, you know that such? No. I care, but I didn't know, you know? The questions today, as foolish as they may sound, is, do you get what you're hoping for? Does the outcome match what you expected? You know, the word says, Jesus came so that we may have an expected end. Is this what we expected? Is what's going on right now, presently, what we expected? That's question one. And if it's not what we expected, are we heading in that direction? It's nothing. Look, this is a process. Come on. I know Jesus doesn't expect me to be on level 10 right now. But am I trying to get there? Do I know where I'm going? Amen. You know, am I seeking him? Look at this. Since we like to make connections, do you know why Jesus didn't waste time trying to clarify this stuff for the Sadducees and Pharisees? Now look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. We all understand that Jesus is the Word. What else is God? God is love. Now, love basically sent, if Jesus is the Word, love sent you a message. Do you know why the world is so cold? Because they didn't get the love letter.
Hallelujah. Come on.
You know, how warm do you think your spouse is going to be if you never tell her you love her and then you never show her? You don't show him that you love him. What do you expect? We can't expect much of this world because they missed the memo. Why do you think, he said, who are they saying that I am? If they're saying I'm anything but Christ, if they're saying I'm Elijah, they missed the love letter. They missed the memo. I gave my son to show the world that I love them, for God so loved the world that, if you don't think that it's Jesus, if you don't think it's my son, then what is the purpose?
Amen.
What's the purpose? You missed the memo. It's a love letter. God was just showing us that he loved us. What if you don't get it? What if you think it's Elijah? Then you won't get it. You'll miss it. You know, once when Jesus said, man, Peter, that's why you can't get caught up with what everybody else is saying. The world is saying Jesus is a dog. He's a womanizer. He's a prophet. He is a friend of Muhammad. What is that? What is that? Beware of the doctrine. Beware of what you're basing your life on. And if you are basing your life on something other than Christ being the Son of God, why is that working for you? You know, you might be getting money, but what's going on in your marriage? You might have a great marriage, but why are you broke? You might not be broke. You might have a great marriage, but you can't control your kids. Where they at? Where are they going to? Peter said, look at 17. No, I lied. I didn't mean to lie. 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A funny thing happens just in calling him God and acknowledging that he is God. That's saying, look what he said. I acknowledge that you are the Christ. You are the love letter that God sent to me. You are the Savior, and you came from God. If somebody calls you God, then that means a whole lot. Because you see everything that comes along with that. If you call me Eric, that's one thing, but if you call me Daddy, then you can live in my house. Then I can feed you. Then I can clothe you. It's a different ball game then. And Jesus was like, you got it, because I know that you didn't hear this from the world. How often do you hear good sound doctrine from the world? Come on. He said, I know you didn't get it from John. I know you didn't get it from Larry. I know Susie didn't tell you. See, this good stuff, it comes from the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit told you that. You don't get this stuff by watching TV. You don't get this stuff by listening to the radio. You don't get this stuff by doing just willy-nilly dumb stuff. You don't get it like that. The Holy Spirit and time with God reveals things to you like that. I can't make that stuff up. A funny thing happens when you build your life around the right nugget of truth and the right doctrine. And I'm not going to even, this is somewhere beyond right now, but he says, then he's, look at 19. He was like, 18 and 19 actually. Once Peter was like, man, you're Christ. Like, you came from God, my God. He says, you know what? I'm going to just use that little simple less is more, remember? I'm going to use that. Since you got that piece of it right, we can start to build a house now. Okay. I can start to build an army now. I can start to build a church now. You can start getting things right in your home now. Yeah. Your marriage, your work, your school. You can start getting things right now. Those career choices that you're not quite comfortable with, they're not lining up right, you can start getting this stuff together now because you've actually recognized that Jesus is Lord and he came from God. You know that you have a God that cares about you. He sent you a love letter. You got the memo. So let's start from there. Let's start there. Now you get it. Forget about what you used to do. You get it now. Let's go ahead and get your name changed. Go ahead and start getting this army together and let's set some things right. You get it now. We can build off of that. Then he starts, there are several interpretations on this, but mine is very simple because I'm simple. A simpleton. He says, once Peter got this realization and once the Spirit revealed this stuff to him, he says, now I'm going to give you some keys. And I'm not going to go into that because many people research that, and I'm sure you have your own interpretation. And there is probably more than one, you know. But he starts giving you answers. When he says, I'm giving you keys to the kingdom, he's saying, I'm giving you answers to how this whole kingdom of God system works. Because you've already acknowledged that I am Christ and that I came from my Father, not the dead God, but the living God. Yeah. So therefore, you take all of those things that come with acknowledging that there's a kingdom here, and a kingdom that you don't understand. You don't know how this works. You don't know where the doors are. But I'm going to give you some keys now. I'm going to give you some answers. I'm going to tell you how to fix things that you have no clue about. Let's pray.